This is a confessional sermon a little bit, and I picked a verse that I like a lot, 2 Timothy. It's another one of those memorized kind of verses, kind of gets in your heart. And I'm going to bare my heart a little bit here, so hopefully y'all won't be too offended by telling you what's going on at my age and my position in life kind of deal. So you kind of wonder where I became a pastor. I don't know if y'all ever thought about that. It's like, it's not what I intended to be, not what I fell into exactly. It's kind of like, I think like God sort of like pulled me into it kind of a thing. And so what they say in ministry, this is ministry talk now, is what you're supposed to do frequently is cast the vision for your ministry. You know, what is it that I'm about? What do I want from you, so to speak? You know, and lots of people have thought that. It teases me all day long. What does he want from me? Perfection. No, that's not what I'm after at all. But I really think it's funny. I was watching Ryan fish over here, you know, caught, how many fish did you catch? 25 at least. A lot of fish, you know, destroyed them all for sure. All kinds of different fish. We found them dead in the ski area. No, but anyway, it's like what you do is you cast out your ideas so people see what you're trying to do, and maybe that helps a little bit. Kind of go there, as you know, it's not too scary. What you do with the fishing line, you throw it out there and you kind of lure them in. So you could kind of picture me as trying to fish for Jesus' sake and kind of throw out the lure of Jesus, and hopefully you'll follow Jesus enough and take a good bite and then swallow him hard, and then you're stuck for life like me. When I became a Christian, I really got stuck. I don't know about you, Oscar, you were talking about your testimony the other day. I went to this retreat and I prayed to receive Christ, and my whole life has been dragged along by that decision, you know, and it's like all for good, but it's certainly not what I was planning and what I was expecting, and I wouldn't go back for a heartbeat. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it wasn't all my plan. You know, it was kind of like following a plan I didn't really know, and that's a little scary. So here's my vision to you guys. I put down the four things that I really want for you to get out, and next week I'll finish them up, but I really want you to think of this is also Father's Day. So if you haven't called your father, call your father. You know, it's like, I think it's really an important deal. I can't call my dad anymore. And I saw somebody posted, if I could just hug my dad one more time. And it made me all gushy and stuff, because you don't get a chance when they're gone, you know. And so then you really realize how much you really cared. A lot of our dads were not the perfect dads, but they're pretty good dads, right? And there's a lot of people, you know, you can sit there and complain about how your dad doesn't do this and your dad doesn't do that, but he's there, you know, and it's like, that says a lot of us are really blessed to have it. And I know, you know, if you don't have a dad, it's a wound, you know, it's like missing in your life. And so now that my dad's gone, he's been down 5 years, I think in February, he was gone. And it's like, he was living here in College Station and I saw him all the time. And then all of a sudden he's gone. And now every time I drink a root beer, I think about my dad and eat a pickle. Isn't that funny? That's what a habit we did, was eat pickles and root beer together, which is an interesting Tate's combo. But anyway, okay, so here's the scripture, 2 Timothy, right? I'll read it from what you say. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Let's pray. Lord, your word is profound to the deepest part of our hearts. We pray that this verse would be a part of our testimony. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So I feel like a lot of people probably don't realize I had a choice in college. I finally figured out after all these changing majors that I was going to be a special ed major, and I worked with special kids and really loved it, and then later just kept getting more and more into that because there's not many men in the field, and so I was really kind of unique to be a guy. And also, I was going to a school that was kind of focused on special education, so I got my degree in that. And then at the end, I was like, okay, I was active in Crusade and the Methodist Church, and I was like, okay, what am I going to do with my life? And this may help you. How do you know what you should do with your life? I loved doing Bible studies. I loved being in fellowship with other Christians. I liked special ed. You know, they were both good things and beautiful, but I kind of realized that I would rather be discussing the Bible in a group and teaching than I would do anything else. And so what came along was the opportunity to go to seminary town randomly, and I had sort of decided, I surrendered to God and said, I will go if you provide the money in the way, and then he did. And then it wasn't probably 2 weeks after I got my first scholarship to seminary, and I guess I can tell you that story. I don't know if you all know this or not, but I was sitting in a music education class, which is probably the worst skill I have is music. And so I'm sitting there with all these music people, and they were mocking me about my bad xylophone playing and my inability to do, and I got a C in the class. And it was a miracle that I got a C, because I'm really that bad. I can't even keep a rhythm. But anyway, it's one of those things, and I was sitting in there, this older student was sitting there, older, she was probably 25. But anyway, she was an older student to me. And I leaned over, and she says, what you doing when you graduate? This is my senior year. And she goes, I said, well, I hope to go to seminary. And it said, yeah, I'm a Methodist, but I don't have any money. And she goes, I'm a Methodist too. Brownfield Church, Brownfield Methodist Church. And she said, well, you ought to come preach for us. We have a scholarship for seminary. And I was like, I can't preach. You know, it's like, so sure enough, I called over there, or she contacted one of them, and I went, and the men's group met on some night, and I went over and preached a little sermon for the men's group, and they gave me a scholarship to seminary, not full, but half, you know, and it was like, I think that was God saying, yes, this is it. It was just totally random and stuff. So anyway, why am I telling you this? I know you're not all called to the ministry, but I think it's funny how God sort of opens the door all of a sudden, and you sort of follow along. You don't really have to, like, bull ahead. You just kind of follow along where the door's open kind of stuff. And anyway, so I'm telling you that to tell you that there's a love of teaching that I've had. And then what I found out after going to seminary, I thought I was going to be a youth director most of my life, that what I really have that God gave me was a pastor's heart. I don't know if you know what that is at all, but some people get given this opportunity to just want to love people. When I finally realized in my faith that what God cares about most is loving people, I thought maybe I should focus on that. You know, and it's like the next thing I know, God's gift to me was a wounded heart for caring about people. You know, and it's like now, this is Martin Luther made this quote. You remember Martin Luther, not the king, the famous one. You know, Martin Luther said something along the line, there's nothing so wonderful as a good pastor. And I pondered that a lot because I never thought of myself as a pastor. I was a youth director. But then I realized what I want here in my casting the vision here, what I want to do is to love you to Jesus. That's what I want to do. That's what my whole purpose is. You wonder, am I here because I want to move to a bigger school and a bigger Wesley Foundation someday? No, guys, that's not what I'm about at all. I'm about winning more young people to this saving grace of God that I know in my life. That's all I'm about. And so when you leave, it kind of breaks me apart, right, Ben? It's like, you guys, when it's like we're fixing to lose our interns, it breaks me. I mean, it really hurts me personally, but it's okay because I know God sort of fills you up. When you love people and they go away, then God fills you up with more people, you know, to love. And so it's a wonderful thing, but it is painful. So it's like, you guys that are introverts know what I mean. It's easier not to make good friends because if you don't make any good friends, then you don't get hurt. But you're also lonely as all get out. You know, you spend your life in misery, missing out. The second greatest commandment is, Oscar, love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love people, then you're really missing out half the call there, I think. So anyway, so back to it. So what am I up to? I think, let me talk about nagging for a minute here, because I nag, but I do it real subtly. You know, it's like I tease nag, you know? So it's like I have my little way. Liz, by the way, when we got married, I said to Liz, I hate nagging. My mother was a nag. You know, if you have a nagging mother, you understand it sets me to do the opposite thing every time somebody nags me. And so I realized that actually I sort of nag in a dainty sort of way. You know, I kind of pick at. Yeah, a gentle way, right, Ben? A gentle way, you know. But what I'm nagging for is follow Jesus, follow Jesus, follow Jesus. That's really what I'm about. What would make me the happiest for every one of you, whether you stay Methodist, whether you like me or dislike me, is for you to go on with Christ, to do great things. That's what I'm after, Oscar. You know, it's like I'm really not after your money. I'm really not after your affection even necessarily. I pondered that because I like to be loved. Do you guys like to be loved? I like people to like me a lot. And that's a great and good thing, but it can go too far too. But more than that, I want Caleb to be a man of God that changes the world in his world anyway, you know, to walk with Christ. And so disappointing to me would be to hear that you don't even do church after a while. We were pondering this, you know, what failure would be, break my heart, would if my daughters raised in Christ, you know, decided, well, God is just a big joke. My dad's a nut and there is no Jesus. You know, that didn't happen. Thank you, Lord. You know, but, and it does happen sometimes, but even that, God keeps working on those people. So number one, find Christ and grow spiritually. How sad would it be if you've been at the Wesley Foundation of Texas A&M and you didn't get Jesus? You know, it's like, that makes me, ask Ben, that wounds me like you don't know. And there have been a few that have walked away and all of a sudden announced, I'm an atheist now. And I'm like, I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're crazy. I don't care if you're stuck in an addiction. You can't throw out Jesus. You know, you could throw out, there's so many bad things in life. Jesus is the thing to hold on to. You know, it's like, I really don't care about what color you are, any of those things. Walk with Jesus and you will please me. That's what I'm really about. So one of the things when I first got into college ministry, especially youth ministry before that, is you can be Methodist your whole life and not get Jesus. How does that happen? You know what I'm talking about? There are people that play church every Sunday morning and it's like they don't really ever follow the lure. You know what I mean? It's like, or they nibble at the bait. You know, do you know what we're just saying? I will follow Jesus, no turning back, you know. But instead, You guys ever watched, I know Ryan has, watched the fish try to play with a worm, trying to decide whether or not they should eat it or not, you know? It's kind of like that. We do that in church, and there are people that are there, and they like the formality of the church, and they like the stained glass, but do they get it? You know, it's like, I am amazed how many young people have come to me and said, I was in church my whole life, and I missed Jesus until right now. Don't get out of here without connecting with the God that wants to know you personally, right? That's the most important thing. I would be most disheartened to find out that you didn't, at least in one of my sermons, hear about Jesus, you know, and realize that it's something for you personally. Funny story, I have a former student who's now, well, he was a minister, but he's a teacher, but he came from my youth group. He was my youth group president in Baytown, right? Active, we planned things together. We went on work projects, we did all the discipleship things, right? And Scott said to me when he came to college, by the way, the freshman year, he kind of drifted away from Wesley, and he got involved in another group. I don't remember what it was. But he came to me one day and said, Max, I got this one thing. Why didn't you ever tell me about Jesus? And I was like, what? Yeah, what did you tell me about Jesus? Every Bible study, every devotional. But, you know, you have to be ready to really hear it. You know, it's like you got to be ready in your heart. And being around preaching is not the same thing as getting it. And so I wonder sometimes how many people go to church and are so close but don't ever bite the bait. You know, they don't really get into it, and they're going to let it be a tiny little part of your life. Well, and I'm going to scare you here. Jesus doesn't want a tiny little part of your life. He wants your whole life. He wants you to swallow the bait, reel it in, and be dinner, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, it's like, I don't feel like there's any escape. It would literally yank my guts out to try to give up Jesus. I don't think it's a possibility. But think about it. I mean, he doesn't really want us playing around with him. That's not what the gospel's about. So to get involved in a fellowship. Now, you wonder about this. Why does it matter that you get involved? Guys, we need friends. We were created to be in friendship and relationship, and your friends have way more influence on you than you think. So finding just a few Christian brothers and sisters in Christ that you can really share with and grow with is really important. The most introverted person in here still needs them. The Bible says at one point that your best friends in life will be on one hand. So maybe it's only five people that will be your intimate, close friends, but you need them, right? Every one of us has had those lonely days when you're like, does anybody really know me and like me and really care about my bad days and my good days? Everybody likes your social side, but Christian, do you have a non-social side? Yeah, most of us do, or a cranky side. You know, some people have cranky old man sides, you know, and it's like you have to get past that. I like the illustration I love to use is my blowfish. If you ever look at the blowfish in my office, he was dipped in lacquer. You know, a blowfish, you know, they get excited and they puff up real big, puffer fish, and they have spikes along the side of them. So if you're trying to eat them, they become a little hard to eat because they're all spiky and stuff. People are like that. People like put their spikes out, blow up when they're mad, or blow up and keep everybody away. But really, if you could get the spikes to go down, we're all people that need to be loved. Every single person, guys. Even the most obnoxious person you can think of, you know, when you get the spikes down, you might find out they're wonderful friends because nobody else has figured out how to get past their rough side. Maybe that doesn't make sense to you, but it sure does to me. Because there are people, the first time I meet them, I think, whoa, a little spicy, you know. And then after a while, you get to know them and you're like, oh. They know, they're really, if you know about their family and you know about their Yankees or something, you can excuse a lot of stuff to kind of get to know them and stuff. I just put down Yankees, didn't I? I am a Yankee. So anyway, all right, this is another thing you need to know about me, and I'm just throwing it out here for you guys to laugh at me. I pondered this for years. What is it really? Why does Jesus use me to befriend all these students? I don't get it. You know, it's like, why me? And ask guys, I have been father and brother and uncle and mother to one guy, you know, it's like, I feel like God calls me and just goes, okay, you're going to be in this relationship. And Carol, you guys remember Carol? I was a son to Carol. I'm much younger than she is. Tell her I said that. It's not true. But my point is, maybe this is the way it was meant to be in God's creation, is that our family, extended family, would fill all the needs of us spiritually and emotionally. But in our fallen world, it doesn't happen, does it? How many good guys are good fathers, but they don't really share themselves, or they don't share their emotions? Or how many moms are like so naggy that you can't get along with them? You know what I mean? That's why God takes us and says, okay, I'm going to have some people that are just going to fill the gap, you know, and be your brother, be your uncle, be your, you know, it's like, I know I'm old now, I'm probably people's grandpa more, but whatever, I'm still fishing. And what my goal for you is not to use you, not to hurt you, but to lead you to Jesus. That's what it's really about. And so you know where I'm going, right? So you don't have to be scared to be my friend, because you know where I'm going to take you is more Jesus. Now, if Oscar decides he wants to run away and be a bad little fishy, I'll still love him and I'll wait, you know, and just like God does, and wait and hope and pray that someday Oscar will come on back, you know, with the hook in his mouth, right? You know, slowly come back here and stuff, and I won't eat you, I promise. But anyway, you can't be a healthy Christian person until you decide, okay, I'm going to be in healthy Christian relationships. Now, y'all have learned this. If you were in youth ministry, you know there are lots of Christian relationships that are not good. You know, they're bad. They're either sexual or they're evil. They're bent on sinning together. They're not really about God and supporting each other. You have to find some healthy Christian roles there. And to do that, you have to grow too. You have to get past those sore spots, those bad spots, maybe your anger, maybe your depression, you know, those different things. And it's like, realize that you're not perfect, right? You know there's some issues. And then you can be like, it's okay that John has some issues because Max has some issues, right? You know, it's like you work on those together and suddenly you're lifting each other up and you're praying for each other and you're growing better. But you know what? You get the kind of friendships that hurt and keep pulling you away from God. You're not going to move forward. You're going to be stuck. When I was back in youth ministry, they used to joke about how peer pressure was so great and so powerful. You're at the age where you can say, screw peer pressure. I'm doing what Jesus wants me to do. I'm going to find people who are going where I'm going and not just follow along with what's cool right now or what's trendy. Because it will lead you away from God, almost for sure. I think one of the blessings I've had in my life is God put somebody as a mentor in my life to show me what it's like to have a Christian guide. You know, I had a dad my whole life. I was blessed to have a dad, and he taught me a lot of good stuff. But I needed someone to be a spiritual man in my life, you know, someone to lead. And God filled that need, and I was like, wow, what a difference it made. It made me a good father. It made me a better husband because I spent some time. The thing is, you got to know you need to grow. You need to let yourself go. My family is not perfect, right? Kathleen, you can see the dysfunction in your family and then let God fill the need through other people. So I think Ben and I talked about this not too long ago. Someone said once that friends are the family you choose. Sometimes you just can't get out of your family's crazy, but you can choose your friends, right? And get past that crazy and just not, I'm not saying leave your parents or leave your family behind, but get some healthy, steady people in your life, right, that fill those needs. Because we all have needs that our family cannot meet or won't meet. If I counted on my brothers to fill all of my friendship needs, I'd be very lonely. You know, I'd be very, very lonely in my life. The fourth one is, right, to grow emotionally as well as spiritually. I feel like one of the things you got to accept in life is there's a time for counseling. There's a time for at least pastoral counseling, talking to somebody older, or maybe even sometimes talking to somebody younger that has been through stuff or, you know what I mean, needs to give you a different perspective on all. If you think that you're unteachable or you think that you know everything, guys, that is really a big problem in life. It's pride. Deep down, it's like, oh, no, my life's together, right, Caleb? Everything's perfect in my family and I've got my stuff totally together. You know you're not, if you're really honest. You know something's, there's a weakness, a tendency, a sin problem. I laugh, you know, I'm not super competitive, but I'm competitive in certain areas. So I want to challenge you guys. You can beat me in ping pong all day long. You can beat me in so many things. I dare you to beat me in following Jesus. I dare you. You know, you want to be more spiritual than me? Try it, Ben. You know, it's like, I'm going for it. You can beat the snot out of me, and you can live your life closer to Jesus than I did, and I'll be proud of you for beating me, okay? And it's like, the hook's out there, guys. I mean, there's absolutely no reason not to take the bait, so to speak. You know, it's like, so much. I would tell you this, by following Jesus for the last 40 years or so, he's never led me to a bad place. You know, he's never failed. My life has been blessed, you know, and my ministry has been blessed. And I love people. No matter what happens when I quit or retire, people will know that I love them. And, you know, I had four former students come back this week. In 1 week, it was kind of crazy. But it's kind of neat because they still think really beautiful things about me, even though I was teasing and rough and nagging. You know, it's like maybe made fun of them a little bit too much. You know, I'll tell you, Tony McCollum was bigger than me, right? He's probably this big. I don't know how big that is weight-wise, but it's bigger than me, right? And Tony got so mad at me when I was calling him Rosita because he has a pink complexion, you know, and I called him, which is the kids in on a mission trip started it. And he took me outside and wrestled me to the ground and beat me up, you know, and it's like, he still loves me. I still love him. But, you know, it's like, I promise some days you want to go, Max, shut up. You know, it's like stirring. You know this is going to happen sooner or later. I'll tease you one too many. But, you know, that's relationships, right? We get on each other's nerves and we grow. But as I say, iron sharpens iron. You know, it's like there's going to be some sparks, right, when we grow together and stuff. So those are four things that I want, right? So what I'm trying to say is in that verse is I'm trying to trust reliable people, the best thing in my life, the thing that's made my life so full, right? It's been said that students can't be greater than their teacher, but I think they can. I really think that when you're a servant, the goal is to be the servant so John can be great, that he can be a greater Christian man than I ever will be or was, right? Fulfill your calling, whatever it is. It could be really great, could be really small, but in God's kingdom, remember, small can be maybe the best thing, you know, if you're the servant of all. So I hope that made some sense to you. Next week, I want to do the other four things that I want you to do once you kind of get this call thing down and I'm going to follow Jesus. I love this song, and every time Ben sings it, it kind of makes me a little teary, because what I want is for you to decide to follow Jesus so bad. You know, that's what my life goal for you guys is. And for Wesley, is to follow Jesus. It sounds so simple that way. It's not that simple in practice. Let's pray. Oh, precious Lord, we thank you that the sweet calling you've given on our lives, that you just keep calling and calling. And we pray, Lord, that we'd hear that call over and over and answer it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.